You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
I took a line drive. I mean, it almost ended it for me.
That was almost it?
Oh, you should
you don't
see
need
this
a vasectomy
thing.
Anymore, huh?
Look on the Zoom. I'll show it to you. Hold on.
No, I'm good. I
sure?
Swear to God, if you take your clothes off and show me that, I'm going to bow out for the rest of the show. And I think rightfully so. I don't even think Ryan Hurley could call me.
Oh, you got to report him to HR, Dave?
No, I'm not going to report him. I love him. But, I mean, if you show me any kind of edibles, I'm done. I'm not involving myself in the rest
Excuse
of the show.
Me?
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
The big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I love watching my kids play sports. There was so much youth sports in my life this weekend that it's like relaxing and easy to get back to the work week with you guys. Oh my God. So
see,
many
I find
games.
There's nothing better. Like, that's one of the most, as a parent, get a chance to watch your kid play sports is the best.
Yeah. Ben had 5 baseball games. Alex had 4 lacrosse games.
Yeah, but what are you doing? You're just sitting there on a chair watching it.
Sitting there
on
but I got to get them all over the place.
Well, now you're complaining about having to drive? Really?
No, exactly. You don't understand. I got JV baseball 4:30 Friday. We got he's got to change in the car, stop, get him a slice of pizza, get to his game Friday night, freezing. The winds are like 60 miles an hour Friday night. Then I sleep. I got to get him to the high school at 7:30 on Saturday morning. Then I got to get Alex to lacrosse practice. Then I got to do a show. Then I got to travel all over Westchester. It's a lot going on.
It doesn't sound that bad to me.
It sounds like you're complaining about parenting.
You're getting to spend all these hours with your kids that you're going to miss when they can drive themselves.
Yeah, I don't even think they care for me all that much.
Well, who in the house does? The dogs don't like you.
I think the dogs like me.
No,
they don't know better.
They take full advantage of you. They're like, here he comes.
There's no difference between the dogs and my children. I can yell at the dogs, and it's as if I'm a mime. They don't react at all. Like, they're fighting with each other. I'm screaming, stop it. And they don't flinch.
Because they know who the boss is, Dave. It's not you.
It's not me.
It's Sherry.
Clearly.
And they respect her as the authority figure.
I had a moment this weekend which was, I think Rick's going to yell at me. I didn't know what to do. So, you know I'm always honest, right? So,
always.
Alex, and probably to a fault, but I don't know what the right thing to do was. Because I want my kids to know that I'm going to be honest when they ask me these questions. So, Alex played a game, and he says, how did I play? I said, you want my honest assessment of how you played? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay. I said, I thought you did a lot of things well, but I think you need to work on these couple of things. And he was like, well, you didn't think I played good. I played 2 goals. I said, listen, I don't know what you want from me. You're asking me. You want me just to heap praise on you, or should I be honest and say that I think you played well, but I think there are things to work on? So was that bad parenting?
No, I mean, you said the good things first, right?
Like, I think you did a lot of things well.
No, I think you were fine. I mean, he asked for the constructive criticism.
I don't think he was looking for criticism. I think he was looking for, tell me how great I was in this game.
Listen, don't ask the question then. I mean, you know me. I mean, it's tough for me to criticize you when I had a dad who used to hold his nose. You stink when I let him bad go. Which has affected me greatly.
Mm. It still bothers you.
As a grown man.
You're 39, and it still pains you.
No, I think you were. I mean, that's fine. That's what he asked for.
Yeah, but I felt
bad. Okay, here's the thing, though. Did he, outside of what you were trying to correct, like the things that he needed to do better, other than those things, was he really good in the game? Or he thought he was really good?
I think he thought he was better than he was. He was good, but he thinks he's, you know, like Paul Rabel. He thinks he's unbelievable. And in that game, he was good, but he wasn't amazing. And I was honest about it.
I like it. I don't think he did anything wrong.
I thought you were going to be like, how dare you do that to him?
No, you want your dad. You, I mean, you want, if you're going to ask the question, you want the person to be honest. And I appreciate that. I mean, you're not gonna, you can't just always heap praise on him. I'm the same way with Milo when he asked me how he did. You okay. did this well, you did this well. I mean, I would say you need to do this, this, and this better. Like, I don't need you, you know, tackling people and then...
Especially in baseball.
People.
That's a really weird look.
Well, no, baseball, saw you name it. Soccer.
Kids running second. He's like Jack Tatum with the clothesline.
And just trying to slide into every base. I mean, the kid's a nut. He's a maniac. He caught his first game on Friday. I mean, that was
How'd
a treat.
That go over?
He loved it. He loved it, but he's doing like... He incorporated like catching and goalie into the same position. So like at a certain point, because the other coach is pitching to him, like at one point he's like, he does like a two-pad stack. And then he's like, dude, it was hysterical, man.
And watching your kids play sports is one of the great things. Let's go to, and here we go. The calls are going to come against me here. Anthony and Holbrook. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
What's going on, boys? How you doing? I got 2 points. Dave, are you kidding me, man? With the amount of money you got coming in, you're a multi-gajillionaire.
First of all, get out of my pockets, Anthony. How dare you with the amount of... What does the amount of money that I make have anything to do with the fact that I had an overly busy weekend?
Because you could afford to hire a driver. You
could. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm Jed Clampett. I'm going to hire drivers for my children to
Anthony,
take them around to their
Anthony,
sports.
if he hires a driver, what exactly is Dave's role in the family if he hires a driver?
It's probably
he becomes obsolete.
The same role he's doing now, nothing.
Exactly. He becomes obsolete.
Exactly. So my next point is, but honestly, these are the best moments of being a dad, right? The moments after a game when you're sitting in the car and you're talking about, you know, what he could do better and what he can't. Those are the best moments.
I love Anthony. You don't come on. Do I have to go through it? I didn't have a minute, not a minute to myself this weekend.
Oh, stop it! The kids go to school every day. You're done at 8.
Not over the weekend.
For?
Not over the next time. Goodbye, Anthony. I'm done with you. Goodbye to you.
The time to spend with your kids. You act like you're dragging them around on a rickshaw to these games.
All I'm saying is I had a crazy busy weekend.
No, yeah, but I mean, it's not like you're driving around in a fancy BMW, stopping for pizza, watching your kids play sports. What's better than that?
Sounds
I'll
pretty
sign
good.
Up for that. I'll sign up for that
good.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, when
good.
The wind is whipping at 58 miles an hour on Friday night, and it's like it's frigid. 29 degrees outside with the wind chill. Yeah, oh, this is great. This is what I'm
you
looking
like
for.
You act like you're throwing your 13-year-old on your back and you're piggybacking them to these games.
It's freezing.
Here, jump in my beautiful BMW and we'll drive you to the next game.
Oh, yeah,
stop
says
yourself.
You.
Stop
says
yourself.
You. How much sports kids' sports did you have this weekend? I guarantee you not nearly as much as me. I got home at 8 o'clock last night from a baseball game.
I had baseball on Friday, and I had soccer yesterday.
Oh, so you had I had like 70 hours of it. You had 4.
I almost lost a testicle on Saturday. You don't hear me complaining. I was going to even show you. You said no.
Yeah, I'd prefer not to. I'd prefer not to. I could say anything, and you're just going to go the other way.
No, I just said I agreed with you. It was what you said to him was fine, was perfect. But then you complain. Then you take it a step further, and you want me to pull out the violin. And, oh, Dave,
no, I'm
really?
Just saying I had a lot going on this weekend.
You didn't
weekend.
Have a minute to yourself as
Not
opposed to the 5 days a week when the kids are at school?
I forgot to feed the dogs lunch yesterday. I don't even know that anybody knows this. Now I'm at myself on the air. Yeah, it's a lot. All right, can we get back to the Jets? 800-919-3776. Jets and Giants. Rick, we'll pick up with the Jets since we left off there. I think you feel great about it. I really do. You got an elite receiver, you think, in Elijah Moore. You got a left guard that's going to be there for the next 10 to 12 to 15 years. You have the quarterback of the future. So that you had a running back that everyone seems to like. So I think the Jets offensively did a lot of good things in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, that was the goal too, right? I mean, it was to, once you made the decision to draft Zach Wilson with the second overall pick, was now, you know, using, you know, the first, it ends up being the next 3 picks on players to help your own quarterback. I feel like you solidified the left side of your line. Well, I mean, that's the hope, right? You solidified the left side of your line. You got, I mean, did you get a chance to see the A.J. Brown?
Comparison?
When he was, no, when he actually sat down and was having a heart to heart with Elijah Moore.
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Dude, it's amazing.
Oh, why? Because they're both Ole Miss kids.
Yeah.
Is that the reasoning?
He
for
gets
that?
Dude. He's AJ Brown's crying. But he's literally
why?
Crying. Just like, you're so much. I want you to know how great you are. You're better than me. Like it was awesome. And I can't even tell you. I probably got 15 different text messages from buddies that are Jets fans. Like, couldn't be more excited about this pick. But you see this Elijah Moore. He's a stud. The guy runs like an animal. Think Debo Samuel when you watch this guy play.
How good would that be?
Yeah. Ole Miss is starting to become the place to go when you're looking for a receiver, ain't it?
Especially physical ones,
I'm
too.
I'm telling you. But, I mean, listen, I like what the Jets did, especially at the top of the draft, man. They got their quarterback, and then they got three guys that should flank their quarterback for the heart of his rookie contract and beyond. Like, I just feel like they're in a good spot. And Joe Douglas is doing exactly what Mike Maccagnan and Adam Gase failed to do, which is surround Sam Darnold with talent to make it to make Zach Wilson's life a little bit easier. Like, I just feel like that's the direction that they went with this draft. And then after they found those pieces on the offensive side of the ball, they got a lot of lottery tickets on the defensive side of the ball. Six draft picks on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of it in the back seven. We'll see what happens with those safety linebacker hybrid guys that they plan on using in Rob Saleh's defense. But, I mean, you got to think, with a roster that needs an infusion of young talent, that they're going to find some players, some diamonds in the rough with some of those later draft picks. And that's got to make you feel good if you're a Jets fan. I mean, based on what Joe Douglas has done with his two drafts, I feel like you can trust him when it comes to his work in late April.
Yeah, and of course, too. I mean, I heard some of the complaints were, you know, you traded the 2 third-round picks to get up and get Elijah Vera Tucker.
Look at what the Bears traded.
I know. They love the kid. And they're like, well, you could have used those third-round picks on some corners. I would have to imagine that at some point Richard Sherman ends up being a Jet, no?
You would think.
Doesn't that feel like what's going to happen?
You would think. I thought that the entire way.
I think everyone thinks that. So, I mean, they identified, I think, is a humongous upgrade in Vera Tucker on the left side of that line. I mean, you drafted the kid to be your left guard for the next 10, 12
years.
Yeah, and that's what you did.
But, Rick, here's the other thing. If you're complaining about not adding top-end talent to that defensive secondary and not adding a corner that can be a day-one starter, think about it this way, man. Like, you're supporting your quarterback, and you're trying to put the pieces in place for him to be successful, and then you do have a defensive-minded head coach. I mean, Rob Saleh is going to have to get some of those guys that are young players on the back end of that defense to be contributors earlier on in their careers. You got to trust that he's going to be able to get you, you know, most of the way there when it comes to trying to improve that area of the team. Like, I mean, there's some areas where, you know, the general manager can help you out a little bit more by investing significant draft capital, but there are some other areas where coaches are going to have to be able to develop players. And, I mean, if you're talking about it, yeah, you'd rather that be on the defensive side of the ball when that's the expertise of your head coach, rather than taking a chance on the offensive side of the ball when you just drafted a quarterback with the second overall pick.
But Dave, you got to understand what the goal, too, of the season is, right?
It's to get Zach Wilson off to the best possible start.
I don't care if the Jets go 4-13. If you get to the end of the season and you say to yourself, boy, this is the answer at quarterback, that's a victorious season. That's a win for the Jets.
Exactly right. That's how I feel. I mean, they're still the fourth best team in their own division. Like, I'm less concerned about wins and losses and more concerned about, you know, making sure this young quarterback gets off to as good a start as humanly possible.
That's all you're looking for this year. They're kind of playing with house money because you're not going to win this division. You're not going to compete for this division. You know it's a work in progress. So, you know, you don't have these thoughts, these delusions of grandeur where it's like, oh, God, if this goes well, we can win the division. You have zero chance to win this division. So it's almost kind of a nice place to be because all you're looking for is just improvement. And they were so bad last year that you would expect to see some of that.
But here's the other thing, Dave. You can't fix everything in one offseason. This is one of the worst rosters in the NFL coming into this offseason. So to think that you're going to have every hole plugged, you're being unrealistic.
No, you don't have enough to plug every hole.
No. I don't know what that means, but stop it. Let's go to Rob Saleh. asked if
sometimes I wish.
Is Wilson going to be the starter in week one?
Robert, is your plan to make him your week one starter?
I love y'all, man. They weren't kidding when they said New York media was aggressive. But, you know,
gotta ask, you know, he's a second.
No, it's a great question, Rich. But, you know, I'm excited to get him in the building as soon as possible. Excited for the first meetings and, you know, give the kid an opportunity to introduce himself to the teammates and go one step at a time. And y'all can ask me that in training camp.
First of all, who could possibly be the week one starter? Of course he's going to be the week one starter.
Well, yeah, I mean, depending on what you do. I mean, there's been some talk about maybe trading for Nick Foles. I mean, we'll see what happens in Denver. I mean, if Denver ends up getting Aaron Rodgers, maybe you try and get Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, there's things you can do. You need a veteran quarterback on this team, though.
Absolutely, yeah. You do.
At the very least, back him up. Or just in case he's not ready.
Interesting guy.
No, listen, here's the thing, though. I know everyone expects the kid to start because he's a second overall pick. If I'm the coaching staff and he doesn't look great in practice or he's struggling in the preseason, I'm not throwing him out there week one. You only get one chance to make a good first impression. If he's not ready, he's not ready. I'm fine with that.
It's like a Selsun Blue commercial.
Would you go throw out there, throw out Captain Morgan out there week one?
No, hell no. That's what we need. We need somebody.
You're going to bring in. You're right. I mean, if the Broncos add Rodgers, Bridgewater becomes available. Nick Mullins is a guy. But unless he's brutal in the preseason, I would expect Zach Wilson to be your starter week one.
No, I think we all expect that. But I mean, just because you expect that doesn't mean it's going
to
happen.
But either way, you still got to bring in a veteran quarterback just to help the kid in the film room, in the practice field. Like helping him break down.
Hurt.
Yeah, if it's Mullins or whoever ends up being, you need someone to help this kid. It's not going to be easy.
Nope, will not, certainly.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I can't find it. Tell me if you know the answer to this. You might not as well. Do you know who's starting for the Mets tonight?
Do I know who's starting for the Mets tonight? No.
Okay.
I do not.
I don't know that they've actually named a starter.
You're thinking it's Kulani Sutaki.
No, Sutaki's not getting the ball.
You're thinking TBD?
I think it's the old TBD.
A little TBD?
Which gets you nervous.
It is. Undecided. Going up against one Adam Wainwright.
Who is? How old is Adam Wainwright, by the way?
He's up there.
He's got to be close to 40.
Yes, I'm 59! Adam Wainwright, see, he's actually born just before me. He is a August 30th birth. He is 1981. He is 39 years old.
So he's going to be 40 later on.
Still
this
a young
season.
Man. Yeah, young man. Spry.
Oh, yeah. Tom Brady's like that little baby.
I still can't believe
I'm a baby. You're a baby. I'm a baby. You're a baby.
Oh my God.
I have real problems. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, so let's turn our attention to the Giants a little bit. I can't tell you, Chris, how much I love what they did. I have not been this excited over a Giants draft heading into a season in years. I absolutely love what they did. They get a first-round pick. They get a dynamic weapon. They bolster their secondary. I can't tell you. They edge rush. They get that as well. They got a guy at 50 that many people thought they could take at 11, and they got an additional third-round pick. So next year in the draft, I get 2 1s, 2 3s, 2 4s. I love what Gettleman and Judge did.
No, you got to love what they did, Dave. They did an outstanding job. I mean, I don't think you can even say that this was a good job by Dave Gettleman. This was a great job by Dave Gettleman. And for a GM that's caught a lot of heat, a lot of flack, this is the first time that I have some confidence in the direction of the program and what they're doing. But I think that this shows that there's also a heavy Joe Judge influence on the offseason and the draft process. Because trading back in the first two rounds after Dave Gettleman and 54 draft picks had never traded back as a general manager, I mean, that just shows you that, you know, Joe Judge is involved with this thing. He's taking a page out of what Bill Belichick did in New England and applying it to the New York Football Giants. And I think that put them in a really good spot. And Dave, what the Giants did in free agency allowed them to have the flexibility that we saw in the early rounds in the draft. Going into this thing without having any glaring needs allowed Dave Gettleman to decide to make the decide to slide down at 11 when the guy that he wanted wasn't on the board. When the Eagles leapfrogged the Giants to take Devontae Smith, he decided, you know what, I'm going to trade back. There's a team that wants a quarterback that wants to come up. I can get significant draft capital for the future, and I can still get a player at 20 to be able to help my quarterback in year three. So I love what Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge did. I thought they hit a home run over the course of this weekend.
I got to believe this is mostly Joe Judge, though, no?
I agree with you.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. It's never happened.
Never.
Judge comes on board. Now it happens multiple times. Yes, you would figure.
And then they brought in Kyle O'Brien, too, who has Patriots ties from the Lions. I'd be interested to see what kind of say he has in some of these decisions, if he's the guy kind of Joe Judge leans on to make some of these decisions. My question to you guys would be this. Now, clearly the Cowboys felt like we'd much rather have Devontae Smith, if he's going to stay in our division, we'd much rather have him with the Eagles than with the Giants. Do you think if it was Jaylen Waddle still available, if the Giants would have done what they did?
If the Giants would have done if what?
If Waddle was still on the board and it wasn't Devontae Smith, do you think they would have been more aggressive to try to get Waddle? Because that's the kind of skill set that they were looking for?
No.
Or would they have done the
same thing?
I don't
think the Giants were in any position to trade draft capital for anybody.
So, I agree. So
let's say Waddle was available. Like Smith was who the Eagles wanted. They didn't want Waddle. Waddle's there at 11. They take Waddle, though.
They take Waddle, yes.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But I think this is a blessing in disguise. I think the fact that it played out the way it played out benefits the Giants. Because you get a guy that's a legitimate offensive weapon that can do things that you haven't had in a very long time. And guys, on top of it, you are in great position for next year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, you get a first-round pick. So you're going to have two first-round picks. You added an extra third, so you have two. I mean, you have multiple third-round picks. You have multiple fourth-round picks. And if, God forbid, things don't work out with Daniel Jones, and there, I mean, maybe, listen, even if there's some truth to the, you know, Aaron Rodgers having the New York Giants on his list with the extra first-round pick that you picked up. I mean, who knows? I mean, that's the whole point of adding draft picks is so if something like this does happen.
That's right.
Either you can, I mean, if he doesn't play well, you can address it and draft the quarterback if you have to. If you have to move up, you can move up. Or if one of these quarterbacks like an Aaron Rodgers or somebody decides that they don't want to be with the team that they're on, I mean, you'd be able to pick up the phone and offer something that could get a deal done.
And you got to figure, if he doesn't play well, the Giants are not picking 17, right? I mean, if he doesn't play well, you're probably going to have a top 5 or 7 pick in this coming draft, which would be pretty easy, you'd think, to remedy, either via trade or the draft, remedy the quarterback issue.
Yeah, you could have a top pick, and on top of what, see what happens with the Bears. Who knows how good the Bears are going to be? Depending on what happens with Rodgers, I mean...
There's real reason for optimism. There really is. 800-919-3776. Let's get to some of the calls. Brian in Albany. Brian, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, Dave, what was your reaction when the Eagles jumped in front of the Giants to take your quarterback?
To take the receiver? First of all, I don't like Philadelphia to begin with. And what they did in the last game of the season, they will be forever. I detest that organization and everything that they believe in. So then they do that. They leapfrog the Giants, and they take the receiver the Giants wanted. I was angry. I had all the emotions. I was angry. I was upset. I was heartbroken. But it didn't take long for things to quickly change for my outlook on this.
Yeah, but the Giants knew what they were doing. Knew what was going on.
Yeah, finally. But you know what? I mean, we've had that happen in the past, and all of a sudden you draft an Eli Apple. You know?
Yeah, they were much more agile this draft than Dave Gettleman has been in the past. The fact that the draft fell the way it fell, that where all of a sudden now you had Justin Fields available at 11 for whatever the team ended up being. It ended up being the Bears, but I'm sure Washington was interested. Like, there were other teams that were interested in getting up to get Justin Fields. It ends up being Chicago, and you still got... I mean, you were getting a wide receiver. That's what they were targeting in the first round. And, I mean, we had all heard that they liked the skill set of Jaylen Waddle. This guy's not Jaylen Waddle, but it's a very similar skill set to Jaylen Waddle's skill set.
Yeah, big time. Let's go to Ross in Manhattan. Good morning, Ross.
Hey, what's going on? So two things. First, did you guys see what Urban Meyer said about Kadarius Toney, how he was heartbroken he wasn't there for 25?
Yep. If you were listening at 5:15 this morning, we got well into that story.
Sorry about that. And then second thing, do we actually trust, though, that Jason Garrett can get Kadarius Toney open, or is this why we brought in Russ Callaway from LSU to inject some youth into their offensive system?
No, I trust that Jason Garrett can do the job. He can scheme up the X's and O's. I have no questions about Jason Garrett as an offensive coordinator. I think the only questions about Jason Garrett and his coaching abilities came when he was the head guy down in Dallas. He knows what he's doing. And Kadarius Toney is another weapon for Jason Garrett to use to go along with the new weapon in Kenny Golladay and Kyle Rudolph, as well as getting a healthy Saquon Barkley back. Like, this offense, in terms of skill position players, is ready to roll. And Kadarius Toney represents something that the Giants skill position players did not have. Somebody that's shifty, somebody that can work those short to intermediate zones in between the numbers. He can present an early target for Daniel Jones early in the downs, being able to dump the ball off to him on 5 or 10 yard routes and being able to turn that into a 20 or 30 yard gain. Like, this guy with the ball in his hands, yards after a catch, is going to be dynamic. So if you're a Giants fans, there's a lot to feel good about with what you did with that 20th overall pick. And the fact that you picked up that first round pick next year, you can't understate how important that, you can't overstate how important that is.
If the offensive line is average, this is going to be a nightmare of an offense to have to deal with.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
NJ Dye clearly taking a shot at me with this read, right? You think they I don't know if you heard it. They wrote this specifically for me?
Yeah, I don't understand. If it's a shot, I don't. They know you wear a swim shirt. I mean, right. You are the guy that wears a shirt at the pool.
I know, but I think that's mean spirit.
Oh, it's disgusting. An SUV protected shirt.
Yeah. It says, don't be that guy this summer. You know, the guy that wears the T-shirt. Now, it says on in the pool, but because I'm a professional, I corrected it to just in the pool.
Well, no, you have the T-shirt on when you're in the pool.
But I don't wear a T-shirt in the pool.
It's the same thing. It's a long
sleeve shirt.
No,
it's not the same thing. I wear a swim shirt, which is a special material to prevent the burning.
Which is still a shirt, yeah.
It's a shirt, but it's not a T-shirt.
Well, who wears these kind of shirts?
I don't think it's very
you?
Nice. I mean, listen, I'm doing these reads. I'm endorsing this product, and they're taking shots in me. I don't appreciate it is all I'm saying.
Oh, you telling RJ like that you wear the same shirts as like a surfer?
Well, that's what the swim shirt is made out of.
Yeah, like more like a channel surfer. I don't know about like a real-life surfer.
I never said I was a... You're such a jerk. I said nothing about me being a real-life surfer. I said that the material of the shirt that I wear is similar to what a surfer would wear.
Well, this is what I said. For me to read, but I will. Don't be that guy this summer. You know, the guy that wears the T-shirt in the pool.
Mine's more of a swim shirt, but okay. You can.
I wear a swim shirt.
Yeah.
Is it loose or is it tight? Is it like a spandex material?
Yeah, it's spandexy material, but it's not loose.
Oh, it's an SUV protected shirt.
Is it like it looks like a sausage casing, or is it like give you like is there some room to breathe?
Yeah, does it look like Phil Mickelson in the pool? Or
I don't want to give up the meat. Oh,
okay. I can breathe a little bit. It's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to see it.
Why do you care what I'm wearing?
Invite me over for swimming this summer. It's a safe outdoor activity that we can be socially distanced, and I will bring the swim shirt.
Yeah, but why can't we just use like some zinc or some sunscreen? I don't. Why do we have to use the shirt?
Let me explain why. And you can make fun of it and whatever, and that's fine. We were on our honeymoon. I was lathered up with like 40. Didn't matter. In Hawaii, burnt to a crisp. Like I got a fever from the sunburn. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. It's not worth it. So now I wear the shirt.
Yeah, but I did the same thing on my honeymoon. Like I decided I wanted to own the sun. Got savagely burned. And then for some reason the next day, Cassie set up a beautiful exfoliating massage, which feels awesome on a sunburn.
Oh, I'm sure it must feel great.
It felt terrible, but I don't wear a swim shirt.
Well, you're more man than I am.
I think we could lube you up, get some. You get 100 SPF if you want.
Listen, it's not worth it. A bad sunburn is hideous. It's awful.
Yeah, but think about what you're doing to your kids,
Dave,
though.
And that being said, Dave, if you were ripped up like Lou Ferrigno or Arnold Schwarzenegger
well, then I'd have no
when
choice.
He was Mr. Olympia, you would not wear a swim shirt.
Right. Yeah. If I'm Mr. Olympia, obviously.
Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was mad at one point. Yeah.
Think about the damage you're doing to your kids. I mean, they got to look. Oh, there's my dad.
Well, I don't make them wear swim shirts. No, but because you think that's the thing that they're like, oh, God, Dad.
Well, people already think you're crazy. Then all of a sudden they show up to a pool party, and here comes Dave with the swim.
And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way,
right.
Three separate people came up to me this weekend. Like, you could not have been more right. That chair at the draft was ridiculous.
Those were huge, fat people.
Those were heavy set people. There was no reason for it. And strange people at that.
I think I'm a bad guy.
A macho man was great, but heavy set people listen to the show too. I don't know. You didn't have to disparage all heavy set people.
Not disparaging them, but why did they have like an ultimatum? Like, listen, whoever goes up to the chair, make sure they're overweight. Let's really show what this country's about.
I don't understand why you're continuing to do it, Dave.
let's really test up the durability of this seat.
Yeah, let's make sure the stage is really well built.
He keeps doubling down, Chris.
He keeps doing
it. The diabetes thing. I mean, this guy's the worst.
Stop body shaming folks, Dave. Stop body shaming folks.
I'm not. So what is the protocol for this, by the way, Rick? I saw a story which I think is wonderful for observations.
Which one? The gun one?
No. I'm not going to tell you, but I saw it yesterday. Is it still, should I save it for you for Thursday?
Oh, yeah.
But that feels like it should be discussed on the air before Thursday,
No, because the Florida stuff doesn't happen every single day. You got to save
it. It's not a Florida story.
Oh, it's an observation story.
It's an observation story.
Will it still be, I mean, is it evergreen? Will it still be topical on Thursday? Because if we have to get rid of it, let's
use
it now.
I would almost guarantee you that in the 6 o'clock hour during ENN that Peter will bring the story up.
I'll bring it up then.
Bring it up?
Because I don't want people to get, I'll get a tweet like, oh, you're copying
stole their guys, their stuff 3 days late. And now he's going to be stealing our stuff. Did you see the Jesus Luzardo story?
I did.
So, I don't know if you saw this, Chris. Jesus Luzardo, good pitcher, lefty starter on the A's, went on the injured list. Broke his pinky finger. How, you ask? Playing video games.
Wow.
You laughed. That's not the first time that's happened.
Well, it's amazing, though. Like, first of all, how are you breaking a finger by playing a video game?
They get I mean, those games get aggressive, man.
Yeah,
they get aggressive.
He's doing way too much if he's breaking a pinky finger. Way too much. You don't even use your pinky finger on the games. How the hell are you breaking your pinky finger playing a video game?
He had to smash the controller or something. He had to get aggressive and smash the controller.
Yeah, think about it. Like, you're not using your pinky finger playing it.
Well, you remember Joel Zamaya? He had to miss 2 weeks.
The pitcher for the Tigers, yeah.
Yeah, because he had carpal tunnel from playing Guitar Hero.
Wow. Wow.
That's how much they were playing the video games.
It's incredible, though. But you broke your pinky finger. And he's an important piece of that team.
I don't understand it.
Dude, yeah. I mean, there's so many crazy injuries like that, man.
I don't understand it.
One guy dropped his motorcycle on himself. He got hurt.
Wait, what do you mean he dropped it? He was picking up his motorcycle?
No, he tried to get on it, and it fell sideways on him, and it ended up hurting his leg. He missed time. Ooh. There was another guy who missed time because he was trying to change his own golf grips, and he had the chemical that you put under the, like, you inject it into the grip so you can slip them off. And it slipped, and he ended up shooting himself in the arm with the chemicals. So he missed time. We had another guy who was running out of his house to go get some protection for his little rendezvous, and he broke his ankle falling down the stairs.
How the hell do you explain that to the team? All of these incidents, how do you explain it to the team?
Well, we didn't explain that one. We took him to practice and put his gear on for him, and then we had somebody.
Oh, that was that story.
Yeah, we had somebody
smack
him.
You're like, listen, you're going to get out of there, and you're going to act like you got hurt at the beginning of practice. Got it.
He's like, oh, my leg, I think it's broken. We're like, yeah, his leg is broken.
Oh, my God. You guys are too much. All guests on DCR. That's being a good
teammate.
Hotline.
That's being a good teammate.
Very good teammate. You want to hear what KJZ has coming up today? There's a lot going on this show. Mel Kiper is going to join the show, and they're going to grade the draft of the local teams, the Jets and the Giants. Obviously, it's going to be a ton of Zach Wilson conversation, and they're going to get into the Yankees and their tremendous weekend over the really high-powered Detroit Tigers. So a lot coming up at 8 o'clock on KJZ. I don't think it's going to happen, but I guess there's rumors thrown out there that maybe the Aaron Rodgers party is interested in winding up on the New York Giants. I don't see that as a match right now.
Why? You wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers?
Well, No. I didn't say I didn't want it. I said I don't see that as something the Giants would do right now.
Well, I didn't know what they would do. I mean, does Green Bay...
Let me give it to you properly.
If Green Bay is going to have to trade him, I would think that they would try to trade him out of the NFC.
Yeah, he's not going to be in the conference. If they trade him this offseason, that's not going to happen where he's going to an NFC team.
Broncos is where I think he goes.
I agree with that. I agree.
You couldn't have traded him to San Francisco. I mean, he would. I mean, all of a sudden, if San Francisco...
No, because now they become dominant.
Yeah.
How about the quarterbacks in that division, though, if he gets traded to Denver?
Pretty damn good.
Right?
Justin Herbert and Pat Mahomes and then Derek Carr. It's not bad.
Yep.
It's not bad.
Kansas City's going to be scary good.
Well, because they've completely revamped their offensive line.
And their offensive
line. That was
the one
thing that held them back last year.
Yes.
How the hell did they make that offensive line that good with very little cap space?
It's taken the Giants 9 years in the offensive line. You're like, I don't know if it's fixed. The Chiefs in like one offseason. It's like, no, we're done. We're good.
With no cap space, though, Dave. With no money.
For the life of me, I can't figure it out. It's not funny. Like all first round picks and free agents and investing this and the highest priced tackle in the history and fourth overall pick, and they're just like, snap the fingers. All right, we got to fix. Let's move on. Mahomes is set now.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know why you're laughing.
It's taken them 9 years. We still hear it.
People are still the one thing that you would still say stands in the way of the Giants being successful is what? The offensive
line.
It's unbelievable.
It is incredible.
No lies told, though, Dave. No lies told.
Glad it's funny for you. James in Brooklyn. Good morning, James. You're on 98.7.
Hi, good morning, guys. I thought the draft went well, but one of the things that was glaring to me was the lack of diversity in the draft room with all the talk about the Rooney Rule for the coaches and the NFL talking about social justice and then making sure, like, minority businesses and things do well. I thought like the lack of diversity every time they showcased the draft room was glaring. Maybe they could apply the Rooney Room to the executive board or something like that to make it more representative of the players that actually play in the NFL, because I believe it's probably, 70% non-Caucasian.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot of lack of diversity on there.
Yeah. Well, James, here's the thing. The Rooney Rule does apply to front office executives as well. So, I mean, it does. And you saw the GM for the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, like he was one of the hires. And it's actually interesting because he came out of the New Orleans Saints front office. So the Saints end up getting draft picks because he got hired as the general manager. But, I mean, listen, diversity and representation at the highest levels of these organizations continues to be a problem. Nobody's going to sit here on these airwaves and say that it's not. And until we see teams more willing to give these guys legitimate opportunities for advancement and upward mobility, we're going to continue to see this problem. I'm seeing that the NFL is trying to be proactive and finding a solution, but, I mean, ultimately it comes down to whether or not the teams are going to actually do it. And I don't know that the NFL can do any more than what they're doing right now.
Let's go to, Mr. Jet, Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, boys. So, Rick, I'm sure you got to be happy. Clearly, Joe Douglas, if you read between the tea leaves, he can only address so much this year. He addressed the opposite side of the ball. He got your lineman. He got your running back. He got a receiver. You got your quarterback. With the defense, he took a lot of stuff, threw it against the wall. He's got a couple of safeties that are going to try to make cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers. So I get that. And listen, Jets fans are just going to have to be patient. To me, it's all about now finding a competent veteran quarterback, going into the season, getting all on the same page, and next year Joe Douglas will realistically address the defense early in the draft. And I think at that point, the Jets will be a competitive team as long as Zach Wilson plays out. But anybody thinking that, you know, maybe he missed a couple of boats by not taking certain players in the later rounds, listen, when you get past the fourth round, if you find one or two players and they can contribute on special teams or you find a gem, you get lucky. But to me, Douglas, he addressed the need. The offense was a mess, and it looks like on paper he fixed it.
Well, he's no dummy, Ira. I mean, he realizes, this is what's at stake when you draft Zach Wilson with the second overall pick. I mean, you moved away from Sam Darnold, and now he's gonna be judged on how Zach Wilson looks in this first year as the Jets quarterback. In the best way to make sure he looks as good as he can look is to put as much talent as humanly possible around him. Try to solidify the offensive line.
Yep.
Which
they tried to do now.
Which they did, and then they added
what they consider to be a really good receiver. They added a running back. I mean, they're doing the opposite of what this organization
did for Sam Darnold. Yeah, what you did in free agency too, right? I mean,
yeah, you added multiple
Corey
receivers.
Davis.
You don't look at the Jets receivers right now and shake your head and be like, "Oh my God, they're awful." They're not awful.
No, they're not awful at all. And I mean, this is, and again, I mean, you got to be realistic with what the season is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your own division. Like this is, it's not really necessarily about how many games you win. It's going to be how does the quarterback look. And also give your new coach, who's a defensive coordinator, some time to work and develop the defense. I would imagine the defense is going to be better just because he's a better head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can address – you can't address every single need in one draft.
Not when you were that barren of talent. Absolutely not. All right. So I have Kuiper's. I did some recognizance, and I got Kuiper's
Recognizance or reconnaissance? Yeah.
Whatever. I'll go with the Warren Moon vocabulary. And I figured things out here. So – the Chargers get a good, solid A from Mel Kiper. And this is going to make you very unhappy, Rick. The Dolphins also get a good, solid A from Mel Kiper. But guess
freaking
who's next
Dolphins.
Up? Guess who's next up on the Kiper draft grades?
J-E-T-E, Jets, Jets, Jets?
That's right. J-E-T-E, Jets, Jets, Jets. They get an A-. You want me to read a little bit of what he has here?
Yeah, give me a little taste. Give me a little.
All right, it's many paragraphs. I'm going to give you all the paragraphs, but I'll give you a little bit. The Jets are another team in the early stages of a rebuild with two first-round picks and an extra third, blah, blah, blah. Let's start with the quarterback. I've been open about how much I still believe Sam Darnold can be a good player. I would have ranked him as the number two quarterback in this class ahead of Jets' new pick, Zach Wilson. All right, this is about Darnold. We don't need to hear this. Give Joe Douglas credit for getting three picks for Darnold. Now the class is going to be defined by Wilson's career. We've said that. Wilson took a monumental leap in 2020, has a rocket for a right arm. Some off-the-platform throws he made last season were absolutely special. He also played a cupcake schedule, though, and I wouldn't throw him into the fire immediately next season. Needs some time, and I hope he's not rushed. I do think he can become a great player in time. Douglas and company prioritized help for Wilson with their next two picks. Taking my, listen to this, top-ranked guard, Vera Tucker, 16 overall, and number four wide receiver Elijah Moore at 34. So he has more ranked higher than he did Tony with the Giants. That means the Jets ended up with three prospects inside my top 16 overall. So that's a heck of a haul. It's a heck of a job by Joe Douglas and company. Fourth round pick Michael Carter was my best available prospect heading into round three. So I absolutely love that pick. I mean, what more could you want? How could you feel any better this morning about their draft?
So why are we an A-? Well, what are we doing here?
I don't know.
Well, it's because he likes Fields.
Like, he gave you a C+. He gave you an A-.
Nah, I know. Listen, I'll take it. He had a good draft. And as far as, I mean, people criticizing, you know, not taking, you know, prioritizing corners and everything else. It's like you're not going to be able to do everything you need to do in one draft. And the most important thing is doing whatever you can for the young quarterback. And that was clearly the priority early in this draft.
Yep. But make no mistake about it. I mean, Joe Douglas is in a new position. Before, it was all about Adam Gase and trying to get this thing turned around. But now that Adam Gase is gone, Joe Douglas is the guy that everybody's looking at. And if this program doesn't show tangible signs of improvement, and I'm with you guys, it doesn't necessarily have to be win total, but if they don't show signs of improvement from where they were last year, then it's going to be a problem. Like that's on Joe Douglas. This is Joe Douglas's team now. They have to get on track. You have to be building towards something. You have to form some type of identity. We need to see the foundation for what this team is going to become in future years. Similarly to what we saw with the Giants last year with Joe Judge and how good we feel about him, we need to feel that way about the Jets going into 2022.
Talk about like maybe one of the better situations you could – I'm not saying like taking over a team that's super talented. But like Daniel Jones has to replace a legend, or you know, if you're the next head coach after Tom Coughlin.
You don't feel like that for Rob Saleh?
No. I mean, you're taking over for Adam Gase?
Can you eat off a plate? Yes, great. You're in better standing. Your eyes not popping each direction when you talk. Great. All right, you're the guy.
You're the guy. Beautiful. Step in the right direction.
It's
improvement.
A step in the right direction. All right, so we gave the Jets the A- there from the Mel Kiper draft grades. Giants get a very solid and gorgeous B+. Here's what Kiper writes about the Giants. The talk of the Giants draft is all about general manager trader Dave Gettleman trading down not once but twice, making the first time he's traded down in his 9 drafts as a GM. It's pretty amazing. Gettleman got an extremely valuable 2022 first rounder from the Bears in the deal that saw the Giants drop 9 spots in round 1. The team is still rebuilding and Gettleman is under pressure, so give him credit for thinking long term and seeing the big picture. If the bottom falls out for Chicago in 2021, and we pray to God that does happen, you never know in the NFL because of injuries, this could be one of the best deals of the draft. He goes on to say, I liked all of the Giants' top 3 picks. Tony is a speedy slot target who will make life easier for quarterback Daniel Jones, who needs to take the next step in year 3. Urban Meyer's already said, like we mentioned earlier, the Jaguars were set to take him and heartbroken when they didn't get him at 25. Jones now has solid weapons around him. There's no way they're going to average a league low 3 yards after the catch again, though the offensive line is still mediocre. Edge rusher Azeez Ojulari is a perfect fit for Patrick Graham's 3-4 defense, and New York got value in taking him in the middle of round 2, and there was some first-round buzz around Ojulari leading up to the draft. Cornerback Aaron Robinson began his career at Alabama and flashed last season at UCF. And then they took the kid Ellerson Smith that everyone seems pretty high on. So, again, I don't see how you could have a negative take on what the Giants did in the draft.
No, I mean, you got 3 guys in your first 3 picks that should be day one contributors to your club. And then we'll see what the other guys in the back half of the draft class turn into, develop into. But, I mean, you have to feel good about it. I mean, you are going to significantly help Daniel Jones with Kadarius Toney because he has a skill set that nobody in your wide receiver core has. And then when you look at the defense, being able to add a guy that can consistently win in one-on-one situations, pass rushing off the edge, like you got to love that. That's only going to add more ammunition to Patrick Graham's unit and what those guys can do, and those guys being multiple. So, I like what they did. I understand Kiper gave him a B+. I got it graded as an A- just because it was an outstanding draft class. The only thing that I would say that they didn't do over the weekend that I wanted them to do was to address the offensive line. But outside of that, Dave, there's not a negative that you can point to. And also keeping in mind that you got draft capital for 2022.
Tons of it.
And when Mike Tannenbaum talked about this last week, he said those draft picks are like gold. because you're going to have a regular offseason. You'll be able to have a scouting combine. You'll have a better chance to evaluate those prospects coming out next year than you did the last 2 years. So, again, I feel great about what Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge did. I thought it was masterful how they worked the draft.
Well, I like the fact, too. I mean, and we heard this going into the draft, right? Under the circumstances, no combine and everything else, having to do Zoom meetings, you know, trying to get medicals and everything else, how difficult this year's draft would be to evaluate talent and everything else. Like, when you look at both teams, they drafted guys that, like, have really good tape. Like, this is one of, like, well, he's got all these physical tools, but we don't see the production. The guys have actual production.
Mm-hmm. They succeeded at that level. Can I tell you, by the way, what a bad guy Santiago is? And he's probably like, wait, what did I do? So, Rick, we always say that he takes shots all the time. We're talking about Ole Miss receivers, and he just chimes in. He goes, shame you can't say the same for the Ole Miss tight ends, which is taking a shot directly at Evan Engram. Like, why is that necessary?
This is what this guy does. I mean, you heard during the draft.
I said that privately.
Right.
And I said it, like, and I said it, what, close to a half hour ago?
Yeah, but it resonated with me.
It clearly did.
You said it privately, but why do you have to do that? Why do you have to take shots like that? And every time I take a shot at you, you're like the biggest victim in the world. But you do it relentlessly.
You're really going to go down that path?
I didn't say anything about you stinking Cowboys this morning.
You're going to go about the path of playing the victim? You want to go down that road, Dave Rothenberg?
Santiago, that's who
today,
he is.
Today, am I not the victim? Why did you do that? Well, you can't say the same for tight ends. He just drops it in there. He throws it out there. Me? And there's nothing I could do. It's mid-segment, so I can't start yelling at him because I'm on air.
Oh, please. Like you're doing now.
I hope the Knicks win in quadruple overtime tonight.
What'd you say, Chris? Hit dog will holler?
A hit dog gonna holler.
Take it. Quadruple overtime. It's 1:57 in the morning, and the Knicks and the Grizzlies still going on here on 98.7 ESPN.
Draft Fields, you cowards.
See, the truth comes out.
Taking shots at Evan Engram. Bad guy. All right, KJZ, draft grades are going to continue with that. Obviously, Zach Wilson, big conversation in the Yankees as well. I don't care if it hurt me in my chances for a start today. I really don't. Santi, it's your time to shine.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
You know, it's a shame because star number three was going to go to both New York teams for the excellent job that they did this weekend. I think both teams had an excellent draft, and fans of the Jets and Giants have a lot to be happy about.
The way you give out stars, I think the Tigers are going to get the first star for the weekend.
Tigers weren't even considered. No, star number three is going to go to the Mets for their offensive turnaround. And where does the credit go? Let's ask Pete Alonso.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it was a great step forward for us. And I'd like to thank Diesel Donnie, our new approach coach. He's been doing a great job today. We worked on ripping heaters in the cage, and we applied that in the game today.
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who Diesel Donnie is.
He's a made-up guy.
But look, if whatever the Mets have to do to get the offense going, if this works, I'm all for it. Good for them. And hopefully it gets Francisco Lindor going too, because I'm rooting for that guy. I actually am, Dave. I'm not being that guy.
Yeah, because he didn't go to Ole Miss.
Number two
is going to go to Fran in Massapequa, that gambling addict, because he had nothing but good things to say about all you guys. But then when we get to Chris Canty,
the other guy sitting with you guys is unbelievable. I love his attitude.
I want him to call in tomorrow and explain himself.
But he had nice things to say about the other guy. It's not like he said the other guy is a complete schlub.
He's got a great attitude.
He forgot his name.
Yeah, like you said earlier, the guy was on a bender.
Number one.
Yeah, well, we'll just listen.
Well, this is uncomfortable for me to read, but I will. Don't be that guy this summer. You know, the guy that wears the T-shirt in the pool. Mine's more of a swim shirt, but okay.
A swim shirt.
Yeah.
More reads, more good things like that.
NJ Diet really leaving me out to dry. All right, we're back tomorrow morning. KJZ is next. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.